This morning I thought we'd look at Joseph the hated. I'd like for you to turn with us to, if you have your Bibles, to Genesis chapter 37. The story is familiar with all of us. It's a great type of the Lord Jesus. It could be a great study on Joseph. Joseph the hated, Joseph the exalted, Joseph the Savior, many, many more types. Genesis chapter 37. Beginning at verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all the children, more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it to his brethren, and they hated him even yet more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you this dream, which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told his father, and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee and to the earth? Listen at this last verse. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. I'm sure God will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word, because it is indeed his word. Joseph the hated. Like I said, a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus in many, many ways. He was loved by his father, wasn't he? So was the Son of God. Hated by his brethren, so was the Lord Jesus. Sold to his enemies, so was the Lord Jesus. Purchased, punished unjustly, envied, became the Savior of the world. He had a Gentile bride, and on and on and on. Someone has said there is over 120 different types of Joseph in the Lord Jesus. Surely indeed he was a type. This morning, let's look briefly at first his birth. His birth. You say, well, what could be a type in Joseph's birth and the Lord Jesus? If we were to turn to Genesis chapter 30, we don't need to do that. I'll just read a part of it. Verse 22 and verse 24. It says this, that he took away the reproach of his mother, her being childless. She was a reproach. And the scripture says that she conceived and bare a son, and she says, surely the Lord hath removed my reproach. I like those words. It says, God remembered Rachel. How often we could say the times when we know that God has remembered us in certain situations, but he always remembers us, doesn't he? Remember, he remembered Noah in Genesis 8. Noah 150 days in the ark, and God remembered Noah, his faithful servant. God remembered Abraham and he saved Lot. He wouldn't destroy Sodom because he remembered Abraham and he saved Lot. God remembered Samson after Samson had sinned and forgot the Lord and he's now blind, his eyes taken out, and he prays unto the Lord and says, and God remembered Samson. God remembered Hannah. And the thing that caught my eye, I looked it up, that word remembered, on each one of these that I've quoted to you, has the same meaning. And it means special attention. Personal care. That's just like our God. Always gives his special attention to you and to me. But how about the type? How about the type? Rachel says, God hath removed our reproach. Listen, beloved, this morning, Christ has removed the reproach of sin of a broken law. The reproach of sin that cursed, that we were cursed by the law. We were condemned by the law. And Christ has removed that reproach. Isaiah 42 and 21 says, he will magnify the law and make it honorable. Christ did that, didn't he? He says, he fulfilled the law and, praise his name, brought in grace. Grace that has pardoned all our sin. But then he removed the curse of the law from us. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has removed that reproach. He says, how did he do it? By being made a curse for you and for me. I tell you, that humbles me. He being made a curse for you and for me. And for one reason, that he might bring us back to God. What a Savior. What a Savior. And because of that this morning, beloved, there's no condemnation. The Lord does not condemn us anymore this morning. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He removed the curse and set us free. But you know what the law could not do? God did it. Says he redeemed us, as I just said, by giving us weary life. He redeemed us as we were like slaves in the slave market and never to be sold back again. What a deliverance this morning, beloved, from slavery to liberty. What deliverance this morning. When I thought of those words again, it just kept ringing in my ears. He being made a curse for us. The just for the unjust. What love. What love. And beloved, God actually allowed the world to look at his son. To see who he really became. A curse. A curse. But praise God, he removed that curse at Calvary. And we go free. Hallelujah. What a Savior. God was satisfied forever. The law is silenced forever. And praise God, this morning we are saved forever. Because he has removed that reproach. Secondly, we want to consider for a moment his occupation. Joseph was a shepherd. Says he was feeding his father's flock when he was 17 years old. A shepherd. Oh, that's what we want to look at for a bit again this morning. What a type of the good shepherd who died to save us. What a type of the great shepherd who lives this morning to keep us. And what a type of a chief shepherd who will one day return and present us faultless before his father. Let's look at the good shepherd for a moment. You don't need to turn here, but our minds do go back to John chapter 10, doesn't it? Verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Just before then, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, the verses just prior to it. But now he's not only the door. He says, I'm the good shepherd. And he says, I give my life for the sheep. Shepherd can't get any better than that, could he? To give his life for the sheep. That's why I could say he's good this morning. Because he gave his life for, in behalf of, for the benefit of you and for me. Surely he's good. Surely he's good. He says, I'm not like the hireling. They're hired people. They out there for what they can get out of it. But he says, I know my sheep. I'm a good shepherd. I'll give my life for the sheep. And he did that at Calvary's cross. You know, ordinarily, up to that point, the sheep gave his life for the shepherd, didn't he? Because the lambs were sacrificed in the place of the shepherd. But oh, the Lord Jesus says, I'm different from that. I'm going to give my life for the sheep. What a Savior. What a God. I'm reminded of that hymn, when blood from a victim must flow. This shepherd by pity was led to stand between us and the foe, and willingly died in our stead. What a shepherd. I tell you this morning, he's a good shepherd. And then again, down in verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd again, to make sure we got the point. And that word good there means, I'm the ideal shepherd. I'm the worthy shepherd. I'm the choice shepherd. I'm the excellent shepherd. That's who he is this morning, beloved. Is he that to me and you? Oh, I trust he is today. He says, he knows his sheep. My question this morning is, how well do I know him? He knows me. But how well do I know that good shepherd this morning? How well do you know him? Do you know him in a personal way of prayer? Do you know him in studying the word? Do you know him by living for him day after day? That's how you get to know a person, by talking to them, don't you? By fellowshipping with them. That's the only way we could get to know him, beloved. I trust we know him in some measure the way he knows us. Now in Luke chapter 15, it's another story of the good shepherd, isn't it? And he says it's a true picture of the good shepherd leaving the 99 and going out into the wilderness. Notice where he left those sheep. He says, he went seeking those, he went out, leaving the 99 in the wilderness, not in the fold. Not in the fold. In the wilderness is where he left them. And he went to seek that one lost sheep. And beloved, he came from heaven to seek that one lost sheep, me and you, this morning. We were lost to God. We were lost to the flock because we were not in the flock. We were not in the fold. And we were lost to Christ himself. And he came and he sought us. Says the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost to God, truly. Lost to the fold. What a search. What a search. From heaven to earth. There to the cross. And he found us by giving his life. He redeemed us. Praise be his name. Rejected. Suffered. All that but God had to put upon him for me and for you. How true are those words of that hymn. But none of the ransomed ever knew. How deep were the waters crossed. How dark was the night the Lord passed through. There he found that sheep that was lost. But, beloved, he's a good shepherd. A good shepherd. Let's look at him as a great shepherd for a moment. And when you think of a great shepherd, we have to go into Psalms 23. And Brother Maurice handled that very well on Thursday evening. And we don't want to spend much time here. A great shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Someone has said of all the Psalms, this is the pearl of the Psalms. The most loved, the best priced of all the Psalms. And I think I could agree with that. You get into the full depth of Psalm 23. What condescension for the infinite God to become infinite man, to become a finite shepherd. What condescension. The Lord is my shepherd. And you know, as I thought of that, my shepherd, we often ask ourselves, could we say that, as he is my shepherd? But then I said, what right do I have to say he's my shepherd this morning? What right did David have to say that? But David could refer back to one chapter before, Psalm 22, where it depicts the Lord Jesus Christ suffering, dying, and paying that price that we could become his child, his sheep. He's a great shepherd, a great shepherd. Not only, before I go into the chief shepherd, something else. He says, I shall not want. You know, the great shepherd supplies every single need. And that's what we see in Psalm 23. And if we were to break Psalm 23 up into three parts, and it would sum the whole entire psalm. First, we could divide it like this. We see the secret of a happy life. Every need supplied. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then we could break it up. The second part, we see the secret for a happy death. Every fear removed. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Every fear removed. And then we see the secret of an happy eternity. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Every desire fulfilled. That's Psalm 23. It reminds me of the little boy who had to quote Psalm 23, and he was so afraid and began to worry about quoting that psalm. He said, he was just so afraid. And he started to quote it, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I should not worry. And you know that sums up Psalm 23 to us. We should not worry. We've got every single thing, every need met, every fear gone, and every desire one day forever to be with them in heaven. We should not worry. Briefly, the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, says, you shall receive, those faithful shepherds, you're going to receive a crown of glory. And I like what it said, that fadeth not away. Shepherds this morning, elders, consider that. You're going to get a crown that'll never lose its beauty. It'll never lose its value throughout the countless ages of eternity of being displayed. And you know, I realized this morning, oftentimes, your service is not appreciated. And as I went through this, I said, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm so unthankful for the shepherds who watch over us. And I, 2 or 3 times, I said, God, forgive me. I shouldn't complain. I should appreciate them more. I should be more thankful. Beloved, let me tell you, where we fail to thank you, Where we failed to appreciate, you forgive us. But let me tell you this. Let me remind you of that unfading crown. God will reward you, I tell you. It will be a sufficient recompense that day. For every tear that has come down on your cheek. For every trial. For every suffering. For every sleepless night. That recompense, I'm going to tell you. I don't know what that crown really is going to be like. I don't know if it's going to be actual crown that you can hold or see. Or whether it's going to be some position. I really don't know. Maybe you do. But I'll tell you, it's going to be sufficient recompense for everything that you've gone through. Keep up the work. Keep up the work. The flock needs the shepherd. We need you. And then he's going to present us, the flock, to the Father. Faultless, as we said last week. Not a wrinkle, not a spot. A glorious church. Great shepherd. Oh, look at my time. Look at my time. His brethren. I'll just want to look at his brethren for a moment. We're just going to try to be brief. Joseph brought an evil report about them. And he rebuked their sin. Look at what Mark 7 says, verse 21. The Lord Jesus said, out of the heart of men proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, evil report. That's what God had to say about us. I praise his name that he changed that at Calvary. Through that blood this morning, we're made perfect in him. In John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. That's why. They don't want to come to that light, lest they be exposed. The gospel is the light. Yet men and women today choose the darkness instead of the light. We just skip this and draw on to the Father's love. And I said something about that on Tuesday night. And for sake of time, as I mentioned, that the Lord could look from heaven and look down and say, this is my well-beloved Son as he came out of the Jordan River, in whom I am well pleased. I'm pleased with him. And again, he could say in Matthew 17, the Mount of Transfiguration, pleased with every facet of his life. The 30 silent years, I'm pleased with him. The 3.5 years, I'm pleased with him. And he was pleased with him at Calvary because he raised him from the dead. Pleased with his son. Let's look at Joseph's dreams for a moment. You know, it speaks of Joseph's future exaltation. Both of the dreams, doesn't it? When Joseph will be exalted. And one as an earthly scene of his dreams. And the other one, he sees it's an heavenly scene. Let's read it. Joseph says he was binding sheaves in the field. Says, and his sheaf arose and stood upright. But his brethren's sheaves stood round about and did obeisance to the sheaf. And they said, shalt thou indeed reign over us? And you know, we know the story. Joseph did later on. What a type of the Lord Jesus. Men wanted nothing to do with him. Said, shall he reign over us? Away with him. Crucify him. We want nothing to do with it. But look at what John hears in Revelation chapter 11. It says, I heard great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of the Lord. And he shall reign forever and ever. Beloved, Christ will yet reign. And his reign will be eternal. And you might say, well, if he's got an eternal reign, how could it be a 1,000-year millennial reign? Because the first 1,000 years, it's reigning in time. To execute God's purposes. And then it will merge into eternity and reign forever and ever and ever. No end to his reign. Ever. But then look at Joseph's second dream. And Joseph says this. He says, behold, the sun and the moon and the stars did obeisance to me. You know, the dreams of Joseph was just like Abimelech and Jacob and Laban. You remember Abimelech? Abraham had told the king that this is my sister. And he took her in and was going to lay with her. And God appeared to him in a dream. And in those days, God used to appear in dreams. But now we know we have the written word. But the dreams were divinely, they were divine of God. And you know how Abimelech repented? God said, you'll be a dead man if you touch her. And you know the same thing with Jacob. And then Laban's going back after Jacob, and Jacob's going home with his family and all his cattle. God says, Laban, don't you touch him. Don't you do anything to him. His dreams were divine, replanned by God. But I noticed this, that Jacob observed the dream. But his brethren envied him. And it made my mind think of Mary. It says, Mary, an angel appeared to Mary, says, Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. But his brethren envied him. And then I thought of Revelation 5 again, exalting the Lord Jesus one day. And here's what it says. I have to read it. It says, John hears a voice of many angels, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing. And every creature, listen, every creature in heaven, in earth, under the earth, such as us in the sea, John says, I heard them saying, blessing, honor, glory, power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. Beloved, he's going to reign forever. He's coming in all his glory one day. And Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, because of what Christ has done, and he basically says the same thing that John says in Revelation. Because Christ did highly exalt him, he says, he's given him a name which is above every name. He says, and at that day, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me throw out a challenge here. If you never trusted him, if you never accepted him, if you never said, Lord Jesus, I believe you went to that cross for me. I believe you died and rose again that I one day might live with you. One day you will confess it. How sad to be too late. How sad there and say, you're going to confess, but then to say, depart. It's too late. I trust this morning if you find yourself here without him, you'd make him yours. Today in Colossians 1:18 says, that in all things, he might have the preeminence. And beloved, one day he's gonna be the preeminent one. No doubt. And you know, he's just not willing to just be present in my life this morning. He's just not willing for me to give him a prominent place here this morning. Oh, I give him a prominent place. No, that's not enough for him. He must be the preeminent one in every phase of my life now and throughout eternity. I trust that we will make him that today. Look at his brother's hatred. It says, when they saw that their father loved him more than they hated him and could not speak peaceably with him. Oh, then they hate the Lord Jesus. He said himself in John 15:24, says, they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. And then the next verse, he says, they hated me without a cause. Joseph's brother sort of had a reason because the Father loved him more because of his dreams. But the Lord Jesus says, they hated me without a cause. And they're going to hate me and you, beloved. But that's, don't let that turn us away. Let us keep us straight on for you, regardless of what the world might say. And the obedience to the Father's will. Look how he was such obedient. The Father called him to go. And he says, here I am. And he says, go. And he went. Isaiah 6:8 says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And the Lord Jesus speaks from heaven and says, here I am. Send me. And he's calling me and you this morning. And he says, whom may I send? It's open to every one of us. Will we answer, here I am, Lord? Send me. I'm willing. Or will we say, not quite yet. I've got a little more fun. A little more flash. I'm young. I'm not even married yet. Later on, Lord, call upon me. I'll be there. It might be too late. You might be in eternity tomorrow, if you know it. And you'll be missed it, serving it. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ gonna last and have an eternal reward. Look at the conspiracy. It says, come, let us slay him. Said the same thing with the Lord Jesus. Remember the story with the husbandman that the Lord told that story, how he sent his servants, and they took and they killed them. And they saw the son come, says, he's the heir, we'll get him. Type of the Lord Jesus. He sent the prophets down the years, and they killed them. They didn't listen. God sent his own son, and they slew him. And they still don't listen today. Men and women. Still hate him. Still slay him. Look at the pit. It says, they cast him into the pit. They intentionally put him there to die at the beginning. But Reuben had a way that he figured he'd come back and deliver him. Psalm 69:2 says, I sink into deep mire where there is no standing. No standing. The Lord Jesus has got our sin upon him. No one to hold him up. And he's sinking in it with our sin. And he even cries, my God, my God. And God forsakes him because of our sin, not his sin, but because of our sin, and punishes him in full for what we have done. Finally, look at the bargain. Look at the bargain that humbled me. They lifted him out of that pit and sold him for 20 pieces of silver. What a time. What a time. Say, look at the bargain with the Lord Jesus. Judas took him, looked for a chance where he could get him, and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. $15 it would amount to. What a value. I said this, say this morning reverently, what a bargain for the Son of God who created everything. Who owns everything? $15. You know, this, just a week before that, someone thought much highly of him than Judas did, Mary of Bethany. She takes that alabaster box of ointment, her old year's salary, and pours it on his head. She thought highly of him. Judas thought lightly of him. The price of a slave and a dead slave at that. Beloved, I close with this morning. How highly do I think of him? What value am I placed upon him this morning? What value do I place on him? Things of this world mean more to me than him. Oftentimes I see that happening in my life. Do they mean more to you than him? I trust that if they do, that we'll all this morning say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to place the highest value upon you, because you place the highest value upon us. You give your weary life. I'm going to ask Brother Roddy if he'd close in prayer for us, please.